Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers and fishers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
Succession planning can be a difficult process for some farming families. Imagine, though, if you had to go through it twice. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and this was the case for Daniel. He and his brother took over the family farm from their parents. However, a number of years afterwards, the arrangement wasn't working, so the whole process had to be revised. To delve into succession planning, Daniel joins us for this Campfire podcast. Thanks for your time.
No worries, Drew.
Daniel, your parents, they were farmers. Did it go back generations?
Yep, my great-grandfather, I am the fourth generation here.
Right, so fourth generation, there were some decisions that needed to be made because you've got a brother and you were both interested in continuing farming.
Yep, that's right.
Was it at a young age your parents started talking to you about, well, you know, there's only one family property, how do we work this out?
Probably not. Probably didn't really start to happen until our sort of late teenage years, I guess. There was no pressure from them for either of us to come home and go on with the farming. If we wanted to do something else, I think they would have been quite okay with that as well.
When you both said to your parents, well, we want to come home and farm, then I imagine you've got to start making some decisions, do you?
Yeah, well, my brother's a bit older than me, so he was already home when I came home. So I was pretty keen to get back to the farm, and there was some discussions had on how that might work. And that worked reasonably well for 16 or 17 years. But then things changed again, and now we've separated and gone our own ways.
Was it a case of buying mum and dad out of the property or something along those lines?
Mum and dad were very good. They stepped out of the business relatively early compared to some family setups you see. Dad was always pretty clear that he was going to step out at a certain point, and he did, and left us to it. So even though Dad was still actively farming with us, he was out of the business. So that did make things good, and that was a very good move by them.
So it was clearly yours to run. So was your dad still helping you out when you got to the point of going, well, hang on, I need to do things separately from my brother?
Yep, certainly. He was right there, and he's still farming alongside us now.
And was there any reference back to a succession plan, or was it just like, well, look, that happened 16 years ago, and we've got to come up with a different solution now?
For me, it just came down to the point of, you got to run your own race and make your own decisions. In any partnership, there's obviously a more dominant person, no matter, you know, that's no one's fault. Just some people are more dominant than others, and you're working together and things are going along fine together, but, you know, I just felt that I needed to get out and make my own decisions.
I imagine that's probably easier said than done, Daniel, because, you know, there's the business and then there's the family. Was that difficult to try and separate both of those things?
Oh, absolutely. There wasn't much about it that was easy, but it was definitely the right thing to do. I haven't really ever doubted the decision. It's been a good thing, but it certainly wasn't easy.
And because it wasn't easy, did you then turn to somebody else to say, look, we need a third party here to try and negotiate our way through this and try and keep the emotion out of it?
Yep, and I approached Mike Krause. We had dealings with Mike a fair few years earlier with the original succession planning, and, Mike was an absolute godsend.
And why is that?
He's just a terrific communicator. He's a good, straightforward thinker. He does have a way of taking the emotion out of it, even though it's still emotional. It's a very big thing. But he does take that emotion out of it, help you look at it from different angles. He works out pretty quickly where the common ground is and tries to work out from there. Just his mediation and his manner, he's just the right man for the job. I'm sure there's lots of people that do this, but
You are indeed right. There are other mediators around in this succession space. Do you think it was an advantage that he had been there for the first plan?
Yeah, I think so. Although the second plan was drastically different to the first plan. So yes and no, but I guess we'd already built that rapport with him. My parents had a good rapport with him. He sort of knew enough about us that he wasn't exactly coming in cold either. So it just helped the whole thing flow pretty well.
you alluded to the fact that it's not a straightforward thing. It was a big thing. And I'm assuming this wasn't just nutted out over a cup of tea or two.
No, it wasn't. But at the same time, once decisions were made that we were going to separate the business and go forward from there, it was fairly amazing how quickly decisions were made. We came up with good plans. Everyone sort of got on with it. And it really didn't take as long as I thought it might have. Mike did a good job of that. He just kept the ball rolling and he kept us all accountable and kept us all moving and made sure people had, you know, if we said that we were going to do something, we did, and that just kept everything moving along. And no, it really didn't take that long at all, but it's a major decision to come to. You got to be fairly sure of what you want to do before you attack that job, that's for sure.
And that's a very nut and bolt kind of description of it, but there's a lot of emotion tied up here, and I imagine there'd be a lot of stresses going around while this is going on.
Oh, absolutely, and you're farming at the time too, so it's not like you get to sit down in a deck chair and think clearly about the whole thing either. You know, life goes on.
How did you keep that clear focus and clear mental health? I imagine that would be quite important.
Look, it wasn't too bad. It was, you know, certainly emotional. Emotional for my parents. It's not really where they wanted to see the business go. I don't know, you just get through there somehow. Once I could see that the plan that we were trying to then put into place was going to be good for everybody involved, the stress came out of it a bit. It's the fear of the unknown and the fear of where's it going to go and who's going to say what. But once it sort of, the new plan sort of started to form itself, the stress was out of it, even though it was still a big thing. You knew you were doing the right thing and things were going to work out.
And the businesses are both doing okay now?
Yep. Businesses go better when it rains, like any farming business. But yeah, we're going fine.
Daniel, what would be your parting thoughts to, you know, family that are going through this sort of succession phase? What would you encourage them to think about?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is that people have ownership of certain things. Sharing everything's all very good, but I think at the end of the day, for people's security, I think they need to have assets of their own. I don't know how you do that in a partnership where people work together. I guess there's an argument that says assets should be sort of divided equally. At least then people know what is actually theirs and know that they're secure in what they're doing. There's many good family partnerships that are farming away today that are making it work, but yeah, you've certainly got to have the right structure in there, and everybody's got to feel secure and feel like they have an appropriate level of control.
For Daniel and his family, the assistance of an impartial professional was crucial. Mike Krause is CEO for Plan to Profit Agri, and he's helped hundreds of families tackle this complex task. He thinks there's a couple of basic reasons why families often find it so hard to get started.
The biggest one is the psychological baggage that comes with having to discuss this around the family kitchen table and having to wade through that. The second one is, have we got the financial capacity to achieve the original dream I had as mum and dad 30 years ago? We may not have. And so if we don't think we have, we'll put it off until we have to think about it.
Mike, it sounds like there's quite a bit going on in these processes. I'm guessing a facilitator could help avoid some of the pitfalls.
I'm not sure the facilitators are the common people to use. I'd recommend they use it, not because I do it, but because it adds a third party to the discussion, and that third party can manage the process as well as ask the elephant in the room questions, which family members may not feel comfortable doing. And so allows the process to be put out on the table, dissected, pulled apart, and then rebuilt to help us achieve a successful family succession process.
I like that dissection description, Mike, because I'm guessing there you've got a bit of a separate discussion between the complex web of family relationships and also the business. So how do you deal with the anxiety and emotional intensity generated by these discussions? Are there some ground rules?
The recipe I use, which I've found the most successful, but doesn't guarantee success in every family succession process I'm involved with, is effectively set the mood up so that every member is known they're going to be listened to. I ring each family group individually before we have their first family meeting to get an idea of the family agenda, the major questions that need to be answered, what the elephants in the room questions are. Then I pull the family together. We go through the same process again, so it's a bit like me hearing it the second time, but then every person around the table can be heard and I guess acknowledged, which may not happen in a normal family activity without a third party present. And then, yes, some stages I'll have dad in tears in front of the son and those sort of things. We've got to work through the emotions because they're important, but if we don't work through them properly, then progress won't be made.
One of the elephants, I imagine, Mike, is money. And in recent times, farm property prices across Australia have grown considerably. Is this causing friction and stress within families because it's changing the way they look at their main asset?
The answer is yes. And I think this issue is only going to get bigger as land values are predicted to continue to increase. So what happens is the kids that want to stay home and continue with the farming family might have an asset of $15 million. But the two kids or the three kids that have gone off to university or work in the city and don't have access to the farming family business anymore see this and say, far out, I've got $1 million mortgage. It'd be really great for me if I could get part of that and knock the mortgage off and move ahead. So why don't I have the right to pull some of that asset out? So as we get land values increasing in value, that discussion becomes more pointed.
Mike, is being fair the same as being equal when it comes to the distribution of assets?
No, it's not the same. And I'm glad you've raised that because that's the first thing I say with a family succession plan where we want to preserve the farming family business for the next generation. We can't be equal here because if we break up that $15 million worth of asset equally six different ways, well, we probably don't have a farming business left. But we can be fair. If three kids have stayed home for 20 years and worked on the business and probably haven't been paid professionally, there's a lot of blood, sweat and tears, and there's financial investment in the business there on their behalf. If other kids have been sent off to boarding school, sent off to universities, got a degree, established their careers outside the farm, well, in some regards, they've already received some inheritance because they've now got a good established career ahead of them. So we can sit back and have a discussion about being fair with this rather than being equal with this.
I imagine these discussions go over extended periods of time. And during that, circumstances and opinions, I would guess, could possibly change. So how do you deal with that? Do you record, make notes and distribute the notes about what's been agreed on at each family meeting during the succession planning?
Yeah, I do. I think it's really important to run the meeting, I guess, in an informal tone, but have it rigorously managed with an agenda and minutes written up where major decisions are recorded, what actions need to be taken by who and by when. So when we come back for the next meeting, we hopefully knock off a lot of those so that we can move on. It's hard for me to predict how many meetings we need. The last farm succession planning meeting, we're now up to meeting six, and we have accomplished our goal where we needed the family farm split up before the 1st of July so that the two sons could then farm independently of themselves on for the rest of their farming careers. I didn't think we were going to get anywhere near that October last year, but just following this process through of listening to people, working out the best options, being understanding, take in their argument and different opinions, work through them, record them, move on, has helped us establish and achieve that.
Mike, I imagine there's a number of risks or things that you can't control during a succession planning process, like death, divorce, or even toxic relationships. How do you try and manage some of those variables?
Look, it's really hard, Drew, and I've had instances where the relationships are so toxic that on the first meeting, we basically disbanded. Different family meetings, members were standing up, walking out on the meeting, so I'm never coming back again. And so that was disaster. But I try and get it so that people are listened to. So if there are personalities in the room that dominate discussions, I'll ask them to be quiet once they've had their say so that other people can also be heard. And to me, that's the best environment you can create to help manage that. Does it work every time? No, but probably works about 80% of the time.
Mike, you've worked with hundreds of farming families. I'm guessing you've dealt with some really hard and stressful situations.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the elephant in the room questions is, but what happens if Johnny and Jenny divorce? They get all this asset and then they divorce and then, they, you know, Jenny, who's not our daughter, walks away with all the assets or half the assets. That question needs to be addressed. And in fact, the last family I was working with, the divorce actually happened 3 years ago. And so we're coming into family succession planning where that child had repartnered, and that divorce, the pain that it happened and the financial stress that happened, nearly lost the farm for it, had to be talked through, had to be worked through and managed if it was going to happen again.
Mike, I imagine that's got significant impacts on mental health of some of those involved. Some might brush it off, but not all.
Nah, we can't ignore it. It does have mental impacts on all involved, even those who've gone through divorce, let alone mum and dad who've seen it and then had to try and manage the family fabric as well as the family assets of not being ripped apart because of that experience. So, yes, mental health is huge in those situations.
I imagine also you see positive outcomes too. What sort of steps are families taking to prevent stress and misunderstandings?
Look, I think the positive thing, Drew, is that you have a family that's open to talk through these things. One family succession planning I'd gone through, we'd start this discussion 20 years ago. So it's never too late to start it, but it's a process that you just keep chipping away at, keep opening at, and then hopefully that means the insurmountable issues are managed better.
It's such a big area to deal with. What is the one lasting thought you would like to leave people listening to this about succession planning?
It's all about the goal of achieving what your big picture is. If you can keep focused on my big picture is I want family X name on that front shingle in the driveway of the farm to be for the next generation, and that's my life work fulfilled. Keep focused on how you'll feel once you've achieved that, and that'll help you get over the short-term issues that need to be talked through and worked through and managed in the short term.
Mike, that's a fantastic long-term perspective rather than just focusing on exactly what's in front of you at the moment. Mike Krause, CEO from Plan to Profit Agri, thank you for taking the time and joining us for this Campfire podcast.
Thank you, Drew. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.